Welcome to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Benton Thompson. If you want to create change in any area of your life, you're in the right place. Together, we'll explore the strategies and tools I've used to lose over 100 pounds, pay off $130,000 in debt, and become a multiple seven-figure business owner. I've supported more than 3,000 women to levels of execution and fulfillment they didn't know were possible. Together, we'll break your past patterns and eliminate the appeal of your excuses so you can get consistent, stay consistent, create the results you want, and enjoy the journey. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and we have a really great conversation for you today. And when I say we, that's because I have a guest on the show, which, if you've been listening for a while, you know is not how things typically roll around here. So I'm very excited about it. Today, you are going to hear from a friend of mine who is not only a fitness expert, she is also a mindset coach. She's got a great deal of experience and knowledge around nutrition as well. She's a podcast host. She owns a whole franchise of gyms. I mean, amazing. And you'll hear me talk about this, but that's an impressive resume in and of itself. One of the cool things about today's guest is that she's also a mom who homeschools her kids and really prioritizes her health. And I love learning from people like that who have 100 million things going on in life and are still prioritizing their health and their family when it's easy for all of us to make excuses. We're too busy. You know, she's got multiple businesses. She's a podcast host. She's doing so many different things. But the things that come really at the top of the list are her own health and her family and her faith. And it's a beautiful thing. I know I try to be very intentional about curating my social media so that when I log on, I'm being influenced in a positive way. And one of the people that is a go-to for me in that regard is today's guest, Corey Beth Lepowski. So we're going to be talking about finding ways to make it work, even when things are really busy. We're going to be talking about fitness. We're going to be talking about nutrition. We're going to be talking about so many things. And I'm going to put all Corey Beth's information in the show description. So fat loss, fitness, movement, nutrition, finding a way to fit it all in. That is what we are diving into today. I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Corey Beth Lepowski. Corey Beth, welcome to the Primal Potential Podcast. I'm so psyched to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It is equally an honor to be here with you. I just enjoy our conversation, so I'm pumped to bring it to your listeners.
I love following you on Instagram. Like I enjoy it so much for so many reasons. I mean, not only are you constantly reconnecting me to the message of taking care of your health, no matter what is going on in your life and no matter how many people and things require your attention, but also because you just shoot really straight about what we need to do and what messages are absolute garbage. And there are a lot of messages, unfortunately, that are just not helpful to people who are out there trying to be healthy, especially on social media. Do you see that all the time? Like, are people still telling folks to get on treadmills? Like, is that happening?
I mean, it's mind-boggling because sometimes, Elizabeth, I'm like, are we still doing diets? Do we still believe that that works?
Yeah.
Are we still doing the elliptical? Like, there's, and how about, are we still doing cookie cutter meal plans? This is what I ate to lose.
Everybody can do the same thing.
It's like, so ridiculous.
I can't tell you how many times people will say, I wish you would put out a meal plan, Elizabeth. And I'm like, I wish that you would not desire a meal plan from somebody else. Like, I wish you would create your own based on your lifestyle and your preferences and your goals. But I mean, I know we're all doing the best we can, right? We're all doing the best we can. And that is why you are so refreshing, because you help people do better. I really believe when you know better, you do better. And sometimes you got to know better for a really long time before you finally get it together and start doing better. But hey, we're all doing the best we can. One of the things that I wanted to chat with you about specifically, because you're a mom, you're a working mom, not only you've got two kiddos, you homeschool your kiddos, you're a business owner, multiple businesses, and you're making the time to eat well, to work out. And I need those people in my life who aren't saying I'm too busy. It's become almost for me a pet peeve when I hear people say that, even though sometimes I'm that person saying like, I'm too busy today. But I believe we need messages from women who, especially women, from men too, but especially women who are saying, I have children and I work and I have many other responsibilities. Like, you do what a lot of people don't do. You are responsible for your kids' own schooling. And I still have the time. I make the time. There is the time. Talk to me a little bit about how you do that. How, when there's so much time in the day and so many things and people to take care of, what do you do that really works well? Because I'm sure you've found some things that don't work well over the years. What do you find that you do to set yourself up for success in self-care with kids and a spouse and businesses and being a homeschooling mom?
Man, you described that and I just got overwhelmed. And then I remembered that's my life.
Oh my God, that's me.
Oh yeah, right. I do all that. Thank you, first of all, for that beautiful compliment. And I do like to just keep it real. You know, I can't stand this, you know, live perfectly and Pinterest your kids like lunch bento boxes and all this nonsense. Like, guess what? Sometimes my kids eat, you know, carrot slices and apple slices. And that is the vegetable at dinner because right. I don't want to cook anything. Right. But, you know, to your question, like, how do I do it all? I would say this with a caveat. I live, sleep, and die by my calendar with grace. Mm-hmm. We have to give ourselves grace. Yeah. And so I think first and foremost, you really hit on the fact that we make decisions. We decide to do different things. And what I know to be true about myself, and I want to encourage your listeners to know about themselves, is what you started this with. When we feel better, we are better. Yeah. And so for me, of course, it's easy to say, I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to get to the gym. I own the gym and I don't even go to the gym some days. But to say, if I get to the gym, I know I'm going to have more energy. I know I'm going to feel happier. I know I'm going to show up better for my kids and my husband, our clients, online, all the things that we do. And so it has to become a non-negotiable. And that's why the beginning of the week, my husband and I will look at our calendar. I like to write mine down and then put it into Google and try to make it, you know, as repeatable as possible. But I'm like, okay, if I'm not going to work out on Tuesday morning this week, delete it out of your freaking calendar. Because if you see that workout and you don't go do the workout, you're teaching yourself to lie to yourself.
Yeah.
You don't trust
yourself.
It
means nothing.
Exactly.
Means nothing. Yeah.
And the more you do that, the more you train yourself that I don't need to work out. It's fine. And So if I can't get it in on Tuesday, I always say, instead of like, you know, why can't I work out or why am I so busy? It's how yeah. can I get another workout in? Right. And I'll look at where I can schedule it in. And again, live, sleep, die by my calendar with grace.
Yeah.
And so if I have to move it to a midday and literally block that hour out, or for us it's only 30 minutes, yeah. but I block that time out for myself, I am so much better when I give myself that I can be, instead of being like 30% of myself for my kids, I can show up as 70 or 80. I didn't say 100 because it can't be 100% for everyone all the time, right. but I can be so much more when I take care of myself and feel good about myself mentally, emotionally, physically.
And that's one of the big paradigm shifts that I wish someone had taught me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I wish my mom was talking about it when I was a kid. I wish I had heard those conversations where, instead of I can't eat well because I'm too busy, or I can't work out because I'm too busy, I have to because of, I want to, I need to, and not out of any sense of obligation, but because I had to have this very firm talk with myself after the twins were born, right? Because I knew life was about to get really wild. And I was recovering from a C-section and recovering from, you know, some traumatic stuff that happened before the C-section. This is when it matters most that I eat well. This is absolutely when it matters most. Yes, I have very limited time, less time than I've ever had in my life. But there was a season in my adulthood where that stress and that schedule would have been the reason not to. But the perspective that you're talking about, that I think so many of us are in the process of making, is I need to because of this, right? Because never have I needed energy more. And so if I eat poorly, I'm basically saying I'm going to intentionally take energy away. Yeah. Whereas if I eat well, I have more energy. Not to mention the emotional stability part. I am dramatically more emotionally stable when I eat well and move intentionally than when I have one of those days where it's like, screw it. We'll start over tomorrow. You know, all the things that we could say are our excuses are also available to us as our reasons. And you live that and you teach that and you embrace that in a way that, like you said, it's not perfection. It comes with grace. It's not, it does not mean recipes for every night of the week. Like, that just kills me, man. I don't know the last time I followed a recipe, but it's been a darn long time. When you are working with your clients, are there reminders? How do you, for yourself and for the people you work with, how do you help them keep this mindset top of mind? Because I know that there's not anybody who doesn't get it, who doesn't hear it. But then at 4:30 on Thursday, when you're leaving work and you have that thought of like, I don't care, today it doesn't matter. How do you help people as a mindset coach and in your own life keep it top of mind when it's not?
I mean, like, if we had that, that's the magic answer to everyone's problems. Right. I want to hone in on what you said, you know, just that screw it. I actually call that screw it syndrome. And okay. I think a lot of us have screw it syndrome where we are too tired, we are too burnt out, we are too unplanned that we just say, screw it. Yeah. And screw it always leads to guilt and shame. And here's why. With screw it, we say, oh my gosh, what am I going to cook for dinner? I don't have anything thawed. Okay, let's do Uber Eats or DoorDash. And then we get upset with the amount of money we're spending on ridiculous food that's not even good for us.
Right.
Right. And then if we do cook, then our kids don't like what we make or our husband's annoyed. Whatever happens, we go down this path. And so screw it syndrome is really important for us to acknowledge in ourselves. And I always talk about first our brain being almost like a real estate mall. And when we think about our brain, there's only so much space, right? It's a finite amount of space that we have to be able to think about and plan things. And if we just think about what our body has to do to live and breathe and stay alive, that's already like a big percent of our brain space.
Yep.
So what are we left with? Like 30% of the remainder of our capacity. Now, if that's filled with what am I going to cook? I can't stand getting dressed in the morning. I don't like how these clothes fit on me. What am I going to do? I didn't food shop, right? All of the stresses that every single one of us deals with on a day-to-day basis, that overtakes all of our thinking and leads us right down that road to burnout. So I like to, for our clients, do two things. The first is help them to set up systems and processes. Now, no system or process is fail-proof, where it's going to be perfect all the time.
Right.
But if we could set up just one process that helps someone who maybe goes into a grocery store and overshops, overbuys, shops sales and end caps and grabs the Snickers and the Twizzlers and whatever else because they're on sale. Right. You notice how like organic chicken never goes on sale, but they'll put those M&Ms on sale.
Yeah, seriously.
To set up a system for them to help them be successful there, I think that's like the first piece is giving systems. Them something that works, but not five systems, not meal
100%,
prep
absolutely.
And food shop.
All or nothing stuff's got to go.
It's crazy. One, just one. And you only get to pick one. And that's it. And then we work on one. And so from my system personally, because I was totally an impulse buyer, or I'd bring my kids to the supermarket and always spend $50 more than I needed to because they want everything. Yeah. And for me, I just order my food online and I go and I pick up exactly what I ordered and exactly what's going to make sense. Now, I don't know with my grass-fed ground beef if I'm going to make hamburgers, meatballs, or we're going to have some type of taco night. Yeah. But at least I know Monday night, I have something to provide for my family that's not going to be order out right. or unhealthy.
Right.
So systems are first. And then the other piece is really digging into their mindset. Yeah. So there are two, there's many aspects of ourselves, but I really believe that there's two aspects of ourselves. And I like to refer to them as our strongest self. I like to call this our badass self. Mm-hmm. And that's our self that like they won, that part of ourself that won an award or had a baby or triumphed in some season of our life where we just felt like we were on top of the world. We all have a moment or a slew of moments like that.
Yeah.
And then we have this low moment that's like Netflix and chill. Screw it.
Right.
I don't need to do that. Or I lost 5 pounds. I deserve some ice cream. I deserve to treat myself. You know, it's okay. I'll get to it tomorrow. And so to help clients identify who they are at their best and who they are at their worst enables us to identify that when it comes up. My worst, I named it. I literally gave it a name and it's SIB. I wasn't going to share that, but there it is. It's CB, but like together. CB. And I had a friend in college that would like be like, CB, like from across campus. And I hated it with every ounce of my being. I'm like, ew, I hate that word. But they'd be like, CB, CB. So my weak self that would eat animal crackers, mint chocolate chip ice cream, gorge on that stuff, then like get on the treadmill and be a cardio queen. I call myself CB. And so when I identify then myself, I'm like, whoa, you don't want to be CB. It's so easy for our brain to take all of those characteristics and bundle them up in one identity to say, that's not who I want to be.
Yeah.
And then there's this high point self, because you've had those moments, but you don't know how to go back to them. It's like they happen in your life and you're like, gosh, I wish I could go back to that. It's enabling them to create that connection in their brain where they're like, that's my best self.
Yeah.
Me, it's happy Corey Beth. It's great Corey Beth. They're strong Corey Beth. And that's who I want to walk into a gathering, giving away Halloween candy, my kitchen, you know, giving my kids snacks. Like great Corey Beth is not going to steal goldfish from her kids. I mean, she rarely gives them to her kids, but when she does, she's not going to steal them because she wants to feel great. And she wants to, and it's not a judgment of guilt. It's when I eat that, I'm jacked up inside. I'm tired.
Right.
My stomach talks to me. It's angry. I get angry tummy and I don't want to feel like that. And I think that that's the other piece of it. So it's really setting up one process at a time, sticking to it, and then really being in that positive mind space where we can identify who we are best, who we are weak, right? And then have the accountability to actually follow through on that. Because I don't want anybody to do what I say they should do. I want them to be true to themselves and actually accomplish what they set out to do. I think that's the most empowering thing we can do to people is hold them accountable to what they want or what they said, because then they trust themselves.
I love that. And I was sharing recently that I do a similar thing with ordering groceries in terms of a system. When I started spending so much of my days at the hospital with the girls, I would get home and be not only really hungry, but also emotional and drained and stressed and pulled in a million directions. And I'd be standing in front of the fridge, like, I don't want to cook. I don't want to think. I don't, like, I'm certainly not at my peak decision making. So now I have a routine that as I'm walking from the hospital to the parking garage, I order a salad from Chipotle on my phone. And it is literally ready when I pull up there 35 minutes later. It's my halfway point, you know, of course, traffic, but like geographically my halfway point, right, to get back to my house. And it's something I look forward to, but I'm eliminating that decision making at that time, which has been so important for me because, you know, I'm just not going to make my best decisions at that point in time. Yeah, and I know that. And it's such a simple, small thing. But so often, the best systems are these simple, small things. You know, it could be driving a different way home from work because you always go through the drive-through and get a shake on your way home, right? You go a different way so you don't go past that place. Systems, I completely agree. And I love that you have your clients focus on just one. And I can totally relate to the SEEB thing. Growing up, everybody called me Betsy. Nobody calls me Betsy anymore. Some of my family does, but I was always Betsy growing up. Nobody that has met me since college calls me Betsy, right? But Betsy was over 100 pounds overweight, and she didn't have friends, and she was picked on, and she isolated, and, you know, snuck food and did all those things. And so for me, I think about, like, I don't want to live that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that way. And I love how you talk about the real estate that these thoughts are taking up. And I feel like that's something we don't talk about enough and we don't think about enough, because when we say, I'm too tired, I'm too stressed, I'm too busy to eat well, to get to the gym, to plan meals, whatever it is, we're overlooking how exhausted we are by this constant process, by the, like, finding the next plan to follow, by, as you said, going into the closet and nothing looks good and nothing feels good. And we take that on every single day. And that's a big part of the reason why we're exhausted. That's a big part of the reason why we feel sad, or we feel lonely, or we feel isolated. We can clear up so much mental and emotional and physical energy by just implementing these small things. And in my mind, I was talking to a client yesterday, and she shared with me that, you know, she wasn't in a good place. She wasn't doing well. And she went in to pick up a sandwich or something at a gas station, and bought two bags of, like, big bags of chips, and ate them in the car. And what she was explaining is that there was so much judgment and so much shame in the fact that she got a sandwich, because that wasn't, like, the healthiest choice. It wasn't salmon and a salad or something like that, that she talked herself into this narrative. Well, since I'm having a sandwich, I might as well have chips, right? I mean, I think we've all done that. Yeah. Get it out of my system. And I told her that allowing for things that are progress, even when they're not perfection, is a part of the path. I wonder what your thoughts are in this and how you work with clients from a mindset perspective, but also a tactical perspective, when they're so attached to this. If it's not the perfect way, then it's somehow not good enough and it's less than, and that's the shame spiral that then opens us up to things where it's like, if you just were cool with having a sandwich,
you'd be good.
Right. Like, then maybe you wouldn't have sat in your car and had two bags of chips. And I do this with myself all the time. Because I was a yo-yo dieter to the extreme for like 30 years, right? And I felt the same way, like, God forbid I have sushi, because I shouldn't be having rice, and that's bad. So because I'm having sushi, we need to stop for ice cream on the way home, because today's an off day and tomorrow's going to be an on day. And then the same thing happened with holidays. Well, since I'm going to my aunt's house and I'm going to have mashed potatoes, well, today's an off day, so I might as well have pancakes for breakfast, you know? And there was just this vicious cycle that stemmed from lumping things together as either good enough or not good enough. Do you see that? Am I just, like, talking about myself here?
Oh my gosh. You just described me. That was the struggle I had. It was every Thanksgiving. I had pecan pie, so I might as well have pumpkin. I might as well have some whipped cream. Right. I might as well have. I already ruined the day,
exactly.
Week, month, year.
Exactly. Yes, right?
It's such nonsense.
Right. And since it's Thursday, might as well just keep going on Friday and Saturday, because Sunday's really a better day to start making good choices, right? Like,
but really, it's Monday. And then if you screw that up, there's next Monday, and now we're mid-month. So let's wait till next month, and that'll be better.
It might as well be January. That's a clean slate.
Well, the first thing you said about all of the decisions we have to make, I think that we are plagued with such decision fatigue that we make up stories to justify our decision fatigue. I mean, you can't go to the supermarket and even buy coffee creamer without being faced with like 31 creamers today.
Yeah.
This one's got oat milk. This one's got coconut milk. This one's got no sugar. This one's made with protein. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? So I think, you know, having that system, we buy Kerrygold butter. And when I go to the butter section, even though there's 17 butters, I know what I'm buying. It eliminates decision fatigue because to stand there and read all those containers, this one's got guar gum, this one's got seed oil. Oh my gosh. I mean, it is so overwhelming and there's all different thoughts about that. So eliminating decision fatigue is huge. So I always say to clients to put what you think in ink. You know, if you're spiraling about a thought, well, if I did this, I might as well this. My saying with clients is always data over drama. Data over drama, because we dramatize almost everything. Our weight, our food, our meal choices, we shame ourselves, we guilt ourselves. And so if you can put what you think in ink, we can actually see things for what they are. We don't want to make them better than what they are. I think a lot of maybe culturally Americans were like, well, I eat healthy. And I'm like, no, you don't. You know, I used to say that. I know what you mean. I try to drink water. I'm like, if you say try, you're not doing it.
Absolutely.
So we try to make things better, but then we also don't want to make things worse than what they are. You know, by eating a cheeseburger, you are not going to gain 20 pounds. It's okay. So to write that stuff down, it helps us to look at data and not dramatize it. And it makes us feel better about it. In fact, I'll have clients that spiral. I'm like, stop, retell exactly what you just told me in bullet points, no opinions or emotions. You know, and there's always like a 20-second pause where they're like, oh my gosh, how do I do this?
And I do the same. I tell people all the time, what happened here without how you feel about what happened here? And so often they can't do it on the first or the 10th try. Like they go to how they feel about it and judging it without even noticing that they're doing it. So I love that put what you think in ink, because I give the example of if somebody gives me a math problem and I can't figure it out in my head, the first thing I do is I grab a pen and a piece of paper, because there's something that harnesses the power of your brain when you're writing that doesn't happen when it's in your head. And when it's in your head, it's like there's no boundaries to it. It can go anywhere. It's endless. I don't know what made me think of that word boundaries, except maybe that with the twins, they're always saying that they're trying to find their boundaries. That's why babies like to be swaddled, because they want to feel their boundaries. They want to know that if they move their arms like this, there's something providing counter pressure. If they move their feet, they're looking for their boundaries physically. I think we need to do that with our thoughts. Yes. We need to find the boundaries, because in our heads, it can just go endlessly that because you had the burger, you might as well have the fries, which is really because you had a beer last night. And you know what I mean? Like it's endless. And putting it to paper, it's going to be a lot easier to see those things. I love that.
Then once we see them on paper, who told you that?
Yeah.
Like who said that a sandwich is not a good choice and chips are a better choice?
Right.
Or who said that, you know, because so much as a society, we are so reliant on emotions, and then we make up stories. Like we make up so many stories where clients will call and say, well, I did this and this and this, and that's bad. Who told you that? You know, well, I just thought it was. And so the counter of that is when someone does have positive progress, they will say, well, I only lost a pound. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, we're not going to celebrate that. When do we get to celebrate the fat loss, right? Is it 5 pounds for you? Okay, you're 5, you're 7, you're 15. All right. So when you get to this point, we can then celebrate. And so the counter is a win is a win.
Yeah.
I don't care how big or little it is. We don't categorize wins as big or small. A win is a win. And it's a very black and white. We actually have a high school or middle school principal where he's like, that is my favorite thing I've ever heard. And he uses it with his kids, because the kids will come in and they went from a C to a B+. And they're like, well, that's still not good. And he's like, a win is a win. You know, if we can see positive progress, you drank more water, that's a win. You got better sleep, win. You stuck to your routine 10% of the day today. You actually followed your calendar once this week. Those are all wins. And so we don't want to make them like, wow, we're amazing and we're doing so great. We can reward ourselves, but we just want to honor ourselves and say, great job, you did it. You know, we're training our brain to trust ourselves and do things that benefit ourselves. It's not for anybody else. We don't need somebody else to give us a gold star. We can just say, hey, that was a win. That was great. I mean, I got a whole celebration dance that I won't share with you today, but you know, make it whatever you want to make it.
Yeah. That mentality of looking for things to celebrate in what you do instead of constantly looking for where you fell short. You know, talking about culture and things that are the norm, that's a huge one. And not to stereotype, but stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. I think more so with women.
Definitely.
You know, I can tell you, my husband, never, ever, ever have I had a conversation with him where he's like, I didn't do enough today. Like literally it's never have. I might've had those thoughts about some of his days, but like literally never has he said the things that I say where, I mean, the other night I was in the NICU all day. I came home. I was doing stuff around the house, pumping every 3 hours. I made dinner. And then 30 minutes before Roman went up to bed, I was like, I got to go up and start work because otherwise I'm going to be up so late. And I get up at 4 a.m. And as I'm closing the baby gate to go up the stairs, I looked at my husband and I was like, I just feel like I'm not doing enough for Roman. Mm. Never in 100 million years would he say something like that. Like, literally never. And I'm sure there are some guys who maybe are a little bit different, but women are always looking for where they didn't do well enough. Yeah. And I think sometimes then we just fall into that pattern where what's the point? And that screw it syndrome, because we're looking for where we fell short. And so we're surrounded by it. So why try to be great? Why try to be excellent? Why even believe that it's possible that we could be great or we could be excellent? Because all we're looking for is where we've been insufficient.
Well, I mean, you're spot on. We're so driven by emotions as women. And it's a beautiful thing that we are emotional beings, like 30% of the time, you know? It's good when we're happy, and when we're not, it's not so good.
Totally.
But because we're so driven by emotions, it, again, putting what we think in ink, bringing data without the drama, helping to do that. But as women, we have this little girl syndrome, where we want someone else to recognize us, acknowledge us, notice us, say, great job. You know, you did awesome. I mean, and I've gotten to the point, Mike and I, in our marriage, well, I will say to him, he's like, what do you need? I'm like, I just need you to tell me I'm awesome. You know, but at the end of the day, we should be able to tell ourselves that, like, hey, self, like, you did awesome today. Because I think that that's that people pleasing little girl that we, in whatever capacity we're brought up to be, or, you know, nature, nurture, however you want to spin it, we all have that. We want someone else to just love us and think that we're lovely and precious. But we can give that to ourselves. We can high five ourselves and we can say, great job. And we should be able to have the community and friends around us to say, like, can you just tell me I'm awesome? And for someone to genuinely mean that, I mean, I walked into the office one day, I was going away, and my mom is amazing. She is so helpful with the boys. But when I go away, she's like extra over helpful. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh my gosh, I will take the boys overnight because I don't want Mike to have to stress. And I'm like, are you for real right now? Like, you don't offer that for me, you know? So I came into the office, I'm complaining to Mike, and I'm like, she wants to help you extra. She doesn't help me extra. And he just looked, he's like, do you need a hug? I'm like, yeah, I do. I do need a hug right now. Yeah. We are so emotional about that because we just want to be seen and noticed and loved, but we forget that we can love ourselves.
Yeah. You know, you touched on something that I think so many people need to hear. And it's that fit and healthy is really possible for them.
Mm.
And I think as a self-protection mechanism, a lot of women are saying it's not possible. It's not possible because I'm menopausal. It's not possible because I've always been overweight. It's not possible because I don't have the time. I don't work in a gym, right? Well, if I were Corey Beth and I owned a gym, then you know what I mean? Like that there's so many stories that we tell ourselves. And I believe it's unintentional, and I believe it's often subconscious, where too many people don't believe that they can be fit and healthy. You know, you mentioned that SIB is how you refer to, like, you know, the you that maybe doesn't make amazing choices. And when you're talking about the you that does, right? Happy Corey Beth. For me, that archetype, that figure, I call her mom. Because nothing anchors me more than wanting my kids to have a really happy, really healthy, really fit mom.
Wow.
And I can't imagine that women don't want to be really happy and really healthy and really fit. But I also know that a lot of them don't think it's possible. Like, sure, they can be a little less fat.
Yeah.
But you work with a lot of women, and you not only work on the mindset side of things and you work with the nutrition, but you also have a ton of experience. I mean, heck, you own a franchise of gyms, right? Like, that's a huge part of your life. That piece, the physical change potential, I think a lot of women think it's not possible. And I really believe it is possible for everybody. And I don't care if your thyroid's jacked up, or, you know, you've got adrenal fatigue, or you're postmenopausal. Like, it's possible for every single one of those situations. What would you say to the women who are listening, who maybe are just now realizing, like, I think that is part of the problem, that I don't believe it's possible for me?
I mean, that I think is where all of this is at, is that belief. You know, I think first we have to have clarity on what it is we actually want. Because some women will say, well, I want to get thin, but I don't want to get too thin. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of a argumentative statement with yourself. So do you not want to lose fat, or do you want to lose fat? Because what your brain hears is lose, but don't. And so in our mind, it becomes very difficult. So the clarity is important. Then I think having a proven plan, working with you, working with us, working with somebody to help down that path. Yeah. That's important.
Instead, I mean, of continuing to wing it for decades.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if you went to Mount Everest and tried to hike that puppy by yourself, you're
and
crazy.
Started at the base every week being like, damn it, I'm going to yes. do it again. You know what I mean? Like,
10 steps crazy. Up. I know. You get a Sherpa. You get a Sherpa that's going to bring you to the top. Right. And then beyond that, it really is believing that it is possible. And the only way that we can move ourselves out of doubt is action. We just have to take action. And sometimes it's blind action. You know, I don't know how great I am or I'm not going to look, but at least if I'm in action, I know that I'm moving a little bit closer to my goal. Right. And for them, whether that looks like moving their body, eating cleaner, even just getting better sleep. I mean, gosh, what an underrated topic that is.
Yeah.
It helps us to move in a direction instead of stagnating. That's really important. And then even just beyond the belief, there's a worthiness issue. And I think that so many of us don't believe that we're worthy of being happy, or that we're worthy of feeling amazing. So if you don't mind, I want to kind of pull this into exactly who your listener is, you know, knowing probably where she is in her life, whether she's got, you know, teen kids, or she's an empty nester, she's a grandma, or maybe she's just an awesome auntie. What's really important is once we cross over the threshold of 30 years old, this is science, we lose 3 to 5% of our muscle mass every decade. So for these women that struggle with hormonal issues, weight issues, or just your mood, maybe you're just angry mommy, or maybe you're hangry mommy, right? Because your hormones are all out of whack. Losing that muscle is so vital, not just to us being able to have a higher metabolic rate, but also being able to feel good in our bodies and look good too. Because a lot of women will say, well, I'm eating the same way I ate 10 years ago, and all of a sudden now I'm gaining all this weight. Well, yeah, that's because you've lost 3 to 5% of your muscle mass every decade. And so now you have a lower metabolic rate. You're eating the same food. Your muscle is, I don't want to say wasting away, because I know people are going to get nervous about that, but it's starting
but it's
to
true.
Deplete.
It's you know? True. And not only that, that 3 to 5% is average. There are a lot of people out there who are losing a heck of a lot more than that.
I'm just being generous, you know, but yeah,
you're appreciate that. You're the generous one. I'm like, it's probably worse.
Get it together, sister, you know? Well, you're sitting behind a computer and not moving.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, you know, that weight that we're losing in muscle, we are now gaining in fat. So women will say, I'm the same weight that I was, but all of a sudden my clothes don't
different.
Fit.
Yeah.
Looks totally different. Yeah. So I would say, you know, if we can trace this back to like actions they can take, I'm going to be your biggest proponent of resistance training, because as women, especially, we want to maintain as much muscle mass as possible. Now, ladies, you're never going to get bulky because you do not have the testosterone or the hormonal capability to get big and bulky.
And if you think you're getting bulky, look at your diet. Don't look at the weights you're lifting, because that ain't it. That ain't it.
That's the
truth. Let me ask you this, because when you say resistance training, I know that there are some people out there listening, like my mom, maybe my aunt, who think that that means like put a band around your ankles. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking lifting weights.
I am talking lifting weights, and I'm talking lifting heavy weights in a safe way.
Yep.
You know, and I think that that's where we enter into fear, and then we feel better about it.
As soon as you say heavy weights, I know there's a lot of people that are like, ah, but I have bad knees, or I have this, or I have that. Heavy is relative, right?
Yes.
If my mom and I go into Corey Beth's gym, it's not going to look the same, but we are both doing heavy for us.
That is totally accurate. And you will both be surprised at what you're actually capable of.
Yeah.
Because most, if not all of us, will not ever push ourselves to what we're actually capable of. That's why it's important to have someone else there that says, let's add 5 or 10 pounds. And so, you know, moving in a slow, controlled motion enables that heavier weight to be safe. We don't want to be flinging weights around and dropping them and throwing them in the air, right? That's using gravity and inertia to move the weight. That's not going to help your muscle mass at all. So staying totally controlled, totally safe. Our youngest client is 9 and our oldest was 93. So if you're anywhere in that age range, you can do it. And it not only just helps, obviously, with the mental capacity of serotonin, but keeping that muscle, it's beneficial forever. You know, I mean, we see older people that are kind of hunched over walkers. Like, I always wondered why they got hunched over. It's a loss of muscle mass. They 100%. Literally don't have enough muscle to hold up their spine. Yeah. And so when that is your life, I mean, you realize how important it is to keep as much muscle on your body. And two benefits of resistance training: osteoporosis, osteopenia, sarcopenia. Yeah. There's been studies on anxiety and depression that resistance training has benefits. So you go in, I mean, 30 minutes is all you need. I'm not suggesting people go and do, you know, 1 or 2 hours, because that is honestly unnecessary. But give yourself 30 minutes, 2 or 3 days a week, and it makes such a tremendous difference in muscle maintained, calories burned, energy created. You just feel better. You walk out in a better mood state.
Absolutely. And you can eat more food. One of the things that I was excited to not only learn, but then to see come to fruition in my own body, was I felt for my whole life, I'm just one of those people that, you know, people would call carb sensitive. You know, I don't do as well energetically with carbohydrates, even when it's sweet potato or an apple. When we have more muscle mass, we have a better capacity to tolerate carbohydrate. We need it for our muscle. Our muscle contains glucose transporters that help with that digestive process. Like, you are making yourself more metabolically flexible when you have more muscle. And there's so many women out there. I hear it all the time. Like, I walk by bagels and I gain 5 pounds, you know? I mean, put on 5 pounds of muscle and you won't have that problem.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
You know, like, it's such a real thing. Let me ask you this as we kind of wrap up, because we've now touched on heavyweight training and you've got a million people with questions in their mind about it. Do you feel like most people need a trainer?
Ah, it's a great question. You know, I'm going to say yes. Now, what I don't mean by that, because normally I would say no. So let me cover both answers. I'm going to say yes for this one reason. I think to learn how to do it properly without injuring yourself is so important. And so to that answer, I don't mean you need a trainer forever and ever.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we really learn how to keep our bodies safe long-term. You know, people that have injuries or rhabdomyolysis, all these crazy things that I see come out of some of this heavier, crazy lifting, it's not good for your body. So we have a client that came through our program online, and then she went and did another program online. She sent me a voice message last night. She's like, Corey Beth, they're doing it all wrong. Like, I'm making all the Pure Physique modifications. And so she has knowledge now where I feel so good. If she wants to go try other programs or go out and do it on her own, yes. You know, and so to the second answer, you know, I don't think that you need a trainer once you learn good, basic, foundational. But I will say, studies have shown that even someone that's not physically there training you, but standing over watching you, you will work 20 to 30% harder just yep. because someone's watching. So, you know, if you have an accountability buddy or someone that can at least support you in that, I think that that's helpful without judgment. So I think it's important to learn how to do it right. I mean, I didn't do it right. I had no idea the first thing about machines or free weights. I was lifting like 5 pounds, telling people I was going to get toned, not bulky. So I was spewing all sorts of nonsense back right. in the day.
Right. You know, it's one of those things where I know that a lot of folks are resistant to spending money on certain things, especially in this time. Like, look, everything's more expensive. It's tough for a lot of folks out there. But I really believe that taking your dollars to invest in your physical body or your mind, I mean, that is going to go so much further for so much longer than seeing a movie, having a Netflix subscription, the, you know, the apps that you pay for on your phone, the ones that aren't free, or any other number of things that we can spend money on. You know, I mean, just my mom the other day was like, I want to get some outfits for the girls. What size should I get? That one thing that she does once a month, that could be money that goes to a trainer that she works with once a month or something like that. Like, them, it's there
yeah.
for almost all of us. Like, it's there if we just work around it and it comes to the value that you place on it. And with our physical bodies, muscle is right up there and one of the very, very most important things for our health and our longevity and our energy and our physical safety.
Yes.
You know, I mean, as we get older. So I just think, I mean, I am all for have a trainer. And like you said, once you learn to move well, and once you learn what your body responds to, you might go 3 or 4 years without a trainer. And then you might find, you know, something's changed. I've had it in an illness or a setback or an injury or something, you know, my goals are different and you want to work with somebody again. But I think that's such an important thing.
I agree with you. I think it's such an invaluable investment because if we buy a lipstick, right, we spend the money and then it's gone. If we buy a sweatshirt, we spend the money and then it's gone. When we buy something for our health, it's invaluable. You don't know the ripple effect or legacy it has, and not just even for yourself, because I always say to clients, once you know about muscle or hormones or how to eat better, I mean, it's infinite what you can do with that, but it also becomes your legacy. You know, I don't want to be the great grandma. I'm not even saying grandma anymore. I don't want to be the great grandma that my kids and grandkids and great grandkids say she was always miserable, or she was always trying to figure it out. She was doing jazzercise and eating snack wells, right? I want them to say, she taught me how to care for my body. You know, she taught me how important it was to feel good in your skin. She was always happy. You know, it becomes a legacy because I just believe that more is caught than taught. When we do positive things for ourselves, we are giving our family permission to take care of themselves. Like, sometimes we have to be the leader in our families because it makes it possible for other people. And I'm not saying that you have to go spend your life savings on it. I mean, there are inexpensive trials I'm just going to say, we do a free 5-day trial online for people. Yeah. See if you even like it and then figure out what works best for you. But spending money on your health, you're going to do it one way or the other. You're either going to do it now preventatively, or you're going to pay for it later in ways that you don't want to. So I personally will always think, you know, my story of being 30 pounds heavier than I am today, struggling with IBS and all that nonsense, it is an invaluable investment to make in yourself because you get to keep it forever.
I love that. Corey Beth, where can people connect with you? How can they find you? How can they work with you? Tell me all the things.
Oh, I love you, girl. This is so fun. Thank you. They can find us at pure.physique on Instagram or Facebook, or purephysique.com. We have online programs. We have studios in the Northeast, opening up more franchises soon. We have franchise possibilities, and they could find me at Corey Beth. That's CorrieBeth, last name Lipowski on Instagram, and excited
I'll
to connect.
All that stuff up in the, you're the in best. The show description as well.
You're the best.
You are amazing, and I could talk to you for hours. Thank you for being so generous with your time and with all of your insight. I'm super excited to hear what people think of this episode, and I'm just glad that we finally had you on the show. Oh, and your new podcast. Oh my gosh.
That's right. I forgot.
It just happened. I know. It just happened. Yes. You and your husband have a new podcast called That Fit Couple.
Fitness. Right? Yeah. That fitness couple. We didn't want to be the fitness couple because we're definitely not the, but we're that. We're that fitness couple. So check out that fitness couple.
Awesome. I'm so excited for your podcast. I'm absolutely tuning in. Can't wait for you to have more episodes. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. You're such a light, and I appreciate all you do.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. If you enjoyed it, make sure to take a few seconds to leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening. It not only supports the show in a huge way, but it also automatically enters you into our weekly product giveaway. For more tools, tips, and strategies on creating change, check out my first book, Chasing Cupcakes, and follow me on Instagram @ElizabethBenton. Remember, every choice is a chance, and I'll see you next time.